Hebrews chapter 4, page 1294 in your Scofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading in unison verses 9 through 11, and then we'll be turning to another portion of Scripture in the book of Hebrews. Let's stand, please, as is our custom to do for the reading of God's Word. Once again, Hebrews chapter 4, reading together verses 9 through 11. And let's read together. Ready? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The 11th verse is a text verse. Let's turn now to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, page 1302 in your Scofield Bible. And we'll be reading verses 32 through 34. These three verses, likewise, we'll read together. Ready? And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And the 34th verse also, a text verse. And let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for this great day. Help us not to take lightly the special privilege it is for us to be in this church, to be a part of this great church family. Thank You for those who visit with us. We pray that they'd feel a kindred spirit with us, and that Thou, Holy Spirit, would work in our midst, through our preacher, through our hearts as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, you've got to get weak first. You've got to get weak first. My text verse is, of course, that famous verse in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 34. It says, "For when we are weak, then are we made strong." But that amazing passage in Hebrews 4:11, which says, "Let us labor to enter into that perfect rest." It's like a paradox, doesn't it? Let us labor to enter into that perfect rest. The Bible says when we're weak, we're strong. However, we've got to get weak before we get strong. And the reason that many of us do not have God's help in a very special way is because we're not weak. And this morning I want to talk to you on that subject. You've got to get weak first, our Heavenly Father. I want to be a help to my precious people this morning. A lot of burdens in this room, a lot of heartaches, a lot of sorrows, a lot of problems that seem unsolvable, paths that seem untravelable, burdens that seem unbearable. I pray You'd help us this morning to find strength in our weakness today. In Jesus' name, amen. There are some wonderful promises in the Bible about God's strength. His strength is sufficient. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When I am weak, then am I strong. So we sit back and realize that we have those promises in the Bible, that God is our sufficiency, and that God makes us strong. So we sit back and we depend upon Him and claim our weakness, and somehow feel that God is going to give us strength because we claim weakness, but that isn't true. This is not what God had in mind. Now follow me carefully. You've got to work to get weak. God didn't have in mind you just throwing your hands up and saying, "I can't do it. I'm too weak." No, you've got to work to get weak. The very fact that God says, "Labor that ye may enter into that perfect rest." Labor so you can enter into rest. labor so you can get weak, so you can realize you cannot do it yourself, so you can throw yourself at God's mercy, so God can give you strength. But you don't labor, you don't get weak. And so God's divine order is, 1, effort, 2, weakness, 3, trust, 4, victory. That's God's divine order. 1, labor. You see, you won't be weak until you try. I think I ought to say this too. You are too weak to do it, but you're not too weak to try it. You see, God wants you to try. And God wants you to find out that you are too weak to do it. And in your trying, you find out that you're weak. No, you don't come to God and say, God, I can't do anything. Oh, you can do something. You can't do everything, but you can do something. And God doesn't imply that you're supposed to say, God, I just can't do anything. You have to help me. No, that's not what God says. God says, labor to enter into that perfect rest. So, the more you try, the weaker you become. I mean, it's just a matter of working. If you want to get weak, you work harder and you get weaker. And as you expend your own energy, you get weak, and so you have to work. Let me illustrate. Here's a person in the hospital, a patient in bed. That person's getting better. He feels like he's stronger now. He can get up and maybe walk on his own. So he gets up and he tries to walk. He walks a few steps and he says, oh, wait a minute, nurse, wait a minute. Hey, help me, nurse. Now, he did not know how weak he was until he got up and tried to walk. And then when he tried to walk and did his best and found out he could not do it by himself, then he called for help. That's what God is saying here. When I'm weak, weak through what? Weak through futility? No, weak through labor. Labor to enter into that perfect rest. Didn't say loaf to enter into that perfect rest. You make effort, you find you're weak, then you trust Him, and then God gives you strength, and God gives you the victory. Now, I have this folks this morning, all over this building, who don't have the strength you ought to have because you're not weak. And the reason you're not weak is because you've not done anything. God says to you, I want you to give it all you've got. But I want to guarantee you, you can't do it by yourself. You're too weak to do it by yourself. But God says, I won't do it by myself either. So you start it, and you labor and do what you can. You're going to find out that you're weak. When you find out that you're weak, cast your care upon me. I'll give you strength, and I'll help you. Let me give you a few scriptures about that. I mentioned a while ago, Hebrews 4:11. Labor that ye may enter into that perfect rest. Didn't say loaf or be still. No, it says labor. Do what you can, that you may become weak, that you may realize you cannot do it, that you may realize He has to help you. And so He does help you because you got weak. But good night, you don't get weak because you do nothing. A student at school, you won't pass your grades if you get on your knees and say, God, I can't pass these courses by myself. Pass them for me. Try that out and see how long you'll stay in school. No, you get on you study and you read and do the best you can. And all of a sudden you stop and realize, I don't believe I can do it. God, you're going to have to help me. I've got to have your help. And God does help you. Why? Because you've labored to enter into that perfect rest. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Now follow me. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He says, I won't suffer you, but that ye are able. But He says, I'll also make a way to escape. Didn't say I'll pull you out. I'll give you a way to get out, that you may be able to bear it. God is simply saying, if you will do your best, you're going to realize your best is not enough. And once you realize your best is not enough, then I'm going to come to your help and give you strength, and you will find strength in me, and you and I can do it together. For example, Matthew 11:28 and 29, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Wait a minute. Come unto me. Didn't say come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. First, it said that labor. Didn't say, come all you that loaf and are heavy laden. First thing is labor. You work first. And you have a heavy load. You've carried a heavy load. And God says, and I will give you rest.
But there's no rest until you labor. God's not talking about a bunch of deeper life Christians sitting on their blessed assurance and doing nothing and letting the world go to hell and say, God is my strength, God is my sufficiency. No, sir. The rest doesn't come till you labor. Let us labor to enter into that perfect rest. Come to all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you labor and you're heavy laden and you can't bear the load, come unto me. And by the way, he says, come unto me. He didn't say, call unto me. Come unto me. You get over here. You come to me, and I will give you rest. How about Isaiah 40:31? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. And say, they shall stand and not be weary. They shall sit and not be weary. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What God is saying here is he's saying, I am your sufficiency. I will give your strength. I will be your strength. But I will not be your strength until you yourself have labored first. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. He said, I want you to sin. So the first thing you do, you try not to sin. You find out you can't help it. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. The word advocate means a runner to our side. When you sin, God comes and runs to your side and offers to pick you up. But he doesn't do that without saying first, I don't want you to sin. He says first, you try not to sin. Second, you give it all you've got. Third, you'll realize you can't do it. And fourth, I'll give you strength if you rely upon me. That's what salvation's all about. Over in the book of Hebrews, it talks about being saved, and it mentions the fact that there is a rest that God gives to us, but he says, stop your works. We try to save ourselves, can't do it. Try to join the church and get saved, can't do it. Try to get baptized and get saved, can't do it. Try to hold out and get saved, can't do it. Try to turn over a new leaf to get saved, we can't do it. We try to quit sinning to get saved, we can't do it. And finally we say, oh, fool you on the whole thing, I can't do it. He says, hey, look at me, I can. You look up to him, rely upon him, God saves you. You cease from your works, but you can't cease from what you're not doing. God the Almighty does not come to you and say, I'll give you rest if you'll just hang around. He says, you get to work and I'll give you rest. Dear folks this morning, dear, beloved, precious people here this morning, who ought to have this wonderful peace that God gives you and this wonderful rest that God gives you, but you don't have it. You know why you don't have it? Because you've not labored to enter into it. God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let me testify this morning, other than the Scriptures. This ministry here is too big for me. I've said before, I've said again, if I came to this church right now as its pastor, I could not handle it. The only chance I've got is because I've been here and grown up with it all through these years. But the ministry is too big for me. I can't handle it. But I do the best I can. I give it all I've got. I work day and I work night. I mean that. Every day, night, I work. Give it all I've got. And then once I've given it all I've got, I realize I can't do it. That's not enough. And I come to God and I say, God, you've got to help me. I'm not an educator. I've never taken one course in college administration in my life. And I've got probably this year 2,800 students, maybe 26, 27, 2,800 students in our college, and all the budget and all of the things I've got to oversee. Besides that, I've got the two high schools and the grade school and the junior high school and the church with thousands of people and counseling every week and trying to go up and down the nation to stir preachers. And I say, oh, God, I can't do it. I can't make it by myself. But I'll give it all I've got. God wants you to give it all you got. Once you give it all you got, then God says, okay, you can't do it, can you? And I say, no, I can't. God says, okay, then I'll help you do it. I come to God and I do this. Oh, you don't know how much I do it. I give it all I've got. And I come to the end of my rope and I say, oh, God, I've got to have your help. I can't do it by myself. And oh, how sweet and how wonderful is his help. We have a wonderful God. And our God says, I'll help you do it. When you've tried the best you can do it, I'll help you do it. And how I thank him. It's not easy. Pastor church says that. Nobody's ever done it in the history of America. Never been done. I have no place to go and say what I do next. I don't know. And I walk and I go to the woods and I fall on my face on the autumn leaves and I say, oh God, I don't know where to go next. I don't know what to do.
And you know I've done my best. You know I'm tired. And you know I'm weary. And I've done my best and I've labored. And you know that. And I've got to have help. I've got to have strength. I've got to have power. And God said, okay, I'll give it to you. My mind gets tired. I'm not complaining this morning. I'm grabbing. But my mind gets tired. Often, my mind gets so tired that I don't... This very sermon right here. I was on the airplane this past week. And I always work on the airplane. But I couldn't read. I got sleepy. I'd only had 12 hours sleep the night before. And I got sleepy. I'm not like you. I can't go to church and catch up on my sleep. I've got to stay awake during the whole service. You don't understand the problems I have. But I slapped my face like that and slapped my face like that. And I said to the stewardess, could you bring me a cup of hot tea? I said, bring me 2 tea bags, please. And I put those tea bags in that hot tea, both of them, and I let it sit there for a long time. It soaked up every bit of caffeine it had. I drank the hot tea. I hate to confess what I'm about to confess. I'm going to get forgiveness for it, but I hate to confess it. But I still was sleepy. I said, would you bring me a cup of coffee? Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. But I said, bring me a cup of coffee. She brought me a cup of coffee. Boy, you love to see perfection stumble, don't you? I had to stay awake. And I tried. I slapped myself. And I slapped myself again. Then I slapped the fellow beside me. And I've got to wake up. I've got to study. I've got... And I said, Lord, I forgot about you. I'm tired. I haven't had much sleep. And I'm having an awful hard time staying awake. You're going to have to help me. He's wonderful. And he said... Won't you preach on that? Yeah. And you know what? I thought, it's what everybody needs. We need to find out when we've done all we can do. We must do all we can do, but bless God, when we've done all we can do, then we're weak. But you don't get weak. You labor and get tired. When you're so tired you can't stay awake, you throw yourself in His mercy and say, oh God, I've got to have your help. And blessed be the name of God. He gives it to us then. Boy, I thought about that, and I woke up and thought about this thought, and I stayed awake. Didn't even get sleepy again. And the truth is, went to bed that night and couldn't go to sleep. Coffee kept me awake. See, God loves us. And God wants us to have a part in the work. And God wants to, He wants to help us, but He wants to help us after we've helped ourselves. So He says, He didn't say, come unto me if you've got a burden and I'll give you rest. He didn't say that. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and have a burden. All you soul winners that have a burden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. All you folks that serve God with all your heart, come unto me. But all you that never teach a Sunday school class, never go soul winning, never do anything for God, He said, get your own rest. Go to the psychologist. Go to the psychiatrist. But He said, those that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Please don't misunderstand me again. I'm not complaining at all, but I study hard. I read average of over 1,500 pages a week, other than my Bible. I read 2 chapters a week in the Bible. I can quote Scripture. Jesus wept for God's love of the world. I just know it just like that. But I work hard. And I read. I do. I read. And I do the best I can to think. And I want to have a mind that has a reservoir of truth. And I want to keep learning and keep learning truth. But I get tired. But if I keep learning and keep reading and keep trying. And I said, Lord, I've done the best I can. And I'm tired. And I'm weary. He said, you're qualified for my help. Well, I know Mrs. Gray could tell this about her husband, Dr. Bob Gray, my beloved friend of many years, with whom I've preached across this nation through these years. She could tell the same story that I'm about to tell you, because her husband's gone day and night for these many, many years and been a great leader of the fundamental movement all these years. But I'll be honest with you. Sometimes at night, it's time to preach, and I don't want to go. I hate to say it. I don't want to go. Especially if it's Monday night and the Cowboys are on television. Hey, Monday, tomorrow, and Tuesday, I go to Minneapolis, Minnesota to preach. There is no game Monday night, but there's a World Series game on Tuesday night. And I hate like everything to ruin that crowd at that game. But I'm sure that our attendance at the church will hurt the attendance at the ball game. But I've made a deal. I'm going to call up this afternoon. I'm going to tell them. I'll let you stay home and watch the World Series on Monday night if you let me stay home and watch the Cowboys. Or Tuesday night, if I can stay home and watch the Cowboys on Monday night. But there are times, I'll be honest with you, there are times when it's time to go preach. And I've done it through these many years, night after night after night after night and day after day. There are times I don't want to go. I get on my knees in my room before I leave and I say, God, I love you. I really do. And I don't know how I can preach tonight. You know I worked hard today and you know I try and I'll give it all I got, but I don't know how I can do it tonight. They come to get me and I go out and get in the car. You know, it's like we're like vending machines, Ms. Gray. They come put a quarter in us and we preach. And then they take us back and put us in our room, lock us up, come back the next morning, get us out, put a quarter in us, and we preach again. And we're like vending machines. We're not like people. And sometimes I'll sit on the platform before I preach, and I'll be in some distant state, and I'll say, God, I hope if I can do it. He said, what you been doing all day? I said, you know what I've been doing all day. I've been working. I preached three times already today. You know what I've been doing. And I'm tired. He said, I'd like to have a booster shot. Now I walk up to preach, and I'll be quite frank with you. I'll begin to preach, and I expect I'm the least spiritual person in that room at that very moment. And I'll start talking about how good God is. And all of a sudden, I'll get all wound up. And I'll say, blessed be God. Time I get through preaching, I'm ready to go again, boy, go again. Why? Because God said, labor! Keep on laboring! And you'll labor till you get to the place you can't do it by yourself. And he said, when you get to that place, then you're weak. And he said, then will I give you strength. By the way, it's that way about sin, too. There's some sins I have that are harder to overcome than others. And same thing's true with you. Now God comes along and says, okay, he says, he said, these things write I unto you that you sin not. He said, quit that sinning. And I said, Lord, I'm trying. But you never have been to a deacon's meeting. You never have been down here. You don't know how it is. You never had these guys, your staff members up here. You had Peter, James, and John. Look what I've got. I got Tom, Greg, and Jim. You wouldn't have done so hot either if you'd had those guys. You couldn't have done anything if you'd had this crowd over here. And I say, Lord, I don't want to be impatient. I know I am sometimes, and I got to fight it all the time, impatience. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be that way. And I've tried. He said, don't you do it. Okay, I'm trying not to do it. But Lord, hurry. And help me. Now. I've got to have help, Lord. And the Lord comes, he says, have you done the best you can? You know I have. Lord, it's okay. I'll give you help. You've labored to enter into my perfect rest. In your weakness, you're made strong. But you're going to have to labor to get weak. You can't get weak just by doing nothing. You get weak by laboring, and then I'll make you strong. Same is true with burdens. There are some burdens that are harder to bear for me than others. I don't have the burdens that most of you have, and I know that, but I have a few. And some of my burdens I can bear pretty well, but there are some of them that are harder for me to bear than others. And the Lord says, okay, let every man bear his own burden. Okay, I'll do it. So I'll bear that burden for a while. Then after a while, I bear it and I get weak. Why? Because I try to bear it, not because I run from it, not because I complain about it. I get weak because I try to bear it, the load, I carry it, and then I get weak. And God says, okay, now that you've carried the load yourself, then you're weak, I'll help you. And His strength becomes my sufficiency. You've got burdens too. How can you get God to help you? You bear them. God won't help you with those burdens till you bear them. God won't help you with the job that you have to do till you work at it. So the God's order is effort, weakness, trust, victory. Effort, weakness, trust, victory. You do what you can do. And God says, I'll help you. May I testify this morning to say it's sweeter as you get older. Brother Charlie, I don't know how you're finding it now at 60 or 61, 62, 64, 70, 61. And I don't know how you're finding it now. But I find I've never felt the sweetness of God like I feel it now. You know why? Because I need Him more. I get tired quicker, so I need Him more. May I share with you one of the sweetest things I've heard in recent years. I'm introduced. I'm introduced probably a dozen to 15 times a week by somebody. And you ought to hear the introductions. I was preaching one night and a fellow stood up and he said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, the man that's preaching tonight is on the lips of all fundamentalists everywhere. He said he has a claim as a household word in America. He said every fundamentalist in America knows this man. His name is on the lips of all of us and all over this nation. He said, thank God tonight we have... What was your name, sir? Name it. I've been introduced that way. But the other night I was introduced like this. No, in the morning, preaching in Ohio, Heath, Ohio. And had a good crowd of people, several hundred people. About half the crowd were students, I guess, from local schools. And the dear pastor stood up and this is what he said. He said, I want you folks to listen now. He said, Dr. Jack Hiles is here. And he said, you're very fortunate to hear Dr. Hiles at this time of his life. And then he said, Dr. Hiles, I've heard him preach on tape for years. And he said, Dr. Hiles, I believe he's in his prime. Prime? Prime? I thought I was about ready to kick a bucket. And he said, Dr. Hiles is in his prime. I could hardly preach. My prime. 61 years old, been preaching 40 years. I was ordained 40 years ago last night. How good God has been. And I want to serve Him, but I get tired than I used to. And I want to study hard, but my mind gets more weary than it used to. You know why? If I'm in my prime, you know who I am? Because He does more of it than He used to. He does more of it. There was a day when I could last longer before I had to call for help. There was a day when I could labor longer before I entered into that perfect rest. There was a day when I labored longer before I got heavy laden. There was a day when I didn't get weak as quickly as I do now. Now, after all these years and 45,000 sermons, I get tired quicker. And He comes. And He helps me. I can't do it by myself, but He and I can do it. That's what God is saying this morning. And wait a minute. I've talked about myself too much. Let me turn to you. I know your load is heavy. My heart hurts when I think of the burdens in this room this morning. I try to help you carry them, but they're too many to carry. I can't carry them all. And I know this morning, many of you have a far heavier load to bear than I have. But let me tell you something. All God asks you to do is do all you can do. And when you've done all you can do, you're weak. And then He says, come to Me, and I'll give you rest. Somebody's fighting a sin this morning. You're trying to quit it. God doesn't want you to do it. And you hear preachers say, get out of sin. Cut it out. Live right. And you try it and you try it. It seems like all of a sudden you do it again or take it again or say it again. And you say, Lord, I can't do it. I've done my best. He said, okay. He said, then I'll make a way to escape. That you may be able to bear it. I'll make a way to escape. Some of you are tired in your work. Some of you men working at these steel mills out here for years. Oh, these many years. And some of you now getting up in years like I am. And it's harder to carry the load. It's harder to get out and do the work. You say, how can I do it? I'll tell you how you can do it. You can do it through Him. Once you've done your best. Let me tell you this morning. We have a wonderful, wonderful God who wants to help us. And He comes and says, have you come to the end of your rope? Yes, I have. I'll be your strength. I'll be your sufficiency. I'll give you strength for that temptation. I'll give you strength for that task. I'll give you strength for that burden. We've been together a long time. 28 years. Going on 29. We shared a lot of burdens together, a lot of heartaches together. We had a lot of victories together, a lot of loads to carry, a lot of financial burdens to carry, a lot of battles to fight together through these years. But hasn't God been good to us through these wonderful years? And don't we have a wonderful God who comes and says, let me help you? And do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that that's what pleases Him and that's what He wants to do. He wants to help us. Pastor's school was over. And I'll close with this. And I'll tell you something else and close again. But I'll close with this. Pastor's school was over. About 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Friday, third week of March. Hardest hour of my life. When I leave this place and walk out that door, and I've carried the whole nation on my shoulders, it's all over now. And thousands of Christian workers have been here. We poured out our soul and begged God to do something. And I walk out and I go meet with the staff. And we just sit over and cry and fall on our knees on the altar and thank God for His goodness for another pastor's school. Then I go get in the car and I drive and I drive and I drive. I go out to the cemetery and I spend some time with my mama. After every pastor's school was over while she was alive, I always went to see her. Put my head in her lap and cried. I still go see her. Sit out there with her for a while. But the next, that weekend, I'm just shot. Absolutely shot. Cindy and Jack, that's our baby girl and her husband, and their children, Kenny and Jacqueline, come by the office every Sunday night and every Wednesday night after church to ask for money. And they come by the office. And they came by that night and Cindy could tell I was tired. I was just gone. Gone. And Cindy said, Daddy, God bless her, would you do something for me? Oh, it's wonderful when you're 61 and somebody needs you and wants you. I said, what? She said, would you take me down and buy me an Easter dress? I said something like this. Well, how about your husband here? Oh, Daddy, he doesn't know anything about Easter, about women's dresses. You're the expert. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Now, the truth is, she had me take her by an Easter dress for Daddy's sake. She met me at the airport and I took her shopping. She knows me too. She's not dumb as she looked. She knows me. I bought her an Easter dress. I bought her a Good Friday dress. I bought her an Ash Wednesday dress. Three dresses. And after I got back, I thought it's nice to be needed. And that's what God does. We do our best and then fall at His feet and say, God, I've done the best I can. I can't pastor this church. I can't handle my family anymore and feed them like I could. I haven't got strength enough to go to the steel mills and work. I'm tired. My husband left me or he died and I've got these little babies to rear by myself. And Lord, I've done the best I can. I can't do it. Lord, would you help me? And he says, hot dog. I'm sorry, that's in the Greek. He says, whoopee, rah, rah. He wants to help you. All he asks you to do is labor to enter into that perfect rest. He has it for you. Do the best you can, little widow, and then fall at his feet for strength and help. Do the best you can, weary man who's had the financial load and burden of a family all these years. Do the best you can, and then fall at his feet for strength and help. Do the best you can, preacher, growing older. Sometimes it seems like with the whole country on your shoulders. Too much to do for one man to do. Do the best you can. And fall on your face. And I'll give you strength. And I'll give you help. And believe me, to the praise and glory of God, His strength is sufficient. I can do all things through Christ. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful book. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Holy Spirit. What a wonderful salvation. Thank you for it.